This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
2 Kings chapter 4. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your words are alive and they're powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, thank you for your words. We open it together. I pray, open our hearts, Lord, and speak to each one of us, Lord, and continue that work that you've begun in us. Lord, thank you that it is all up to you. Our part is to surrender, to yield to you, and trust you with all of our hearts. And thank you, Lord, this morning as it were came for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, if you would mark iniquity, not one of us could stand, but there is forgiveness with you. We thank you. Lord, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just, not only to forgive us our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that we might serve you with all our heart, mind, and strength. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, 2 Kings. 2 Kings, did I say that? Chapter 4. Just before I get into that, we were really challenged last week by Jeremiah about this church meant to reveal the glory of God. And just this morning as we're praying, I think twice, I listened to Elaine as she was praying in the pre-service, praying about us bringing the glory. We're to be vessels of glory. And again, when Karen asked to open up, or Adam asked her to open up in prayer, prayed the same thing again. And this has been on my heart and my mind, and just really challenged me, reminded me about what God called me to do, to see an army raised up, every member awake and alert, fully released in their gifts and their callings, taking up the sword of the Spirit with a common purpose to see God's glory revealed and every captive set free. Every captive set free. And remind me again not to fall short of that vision which he gave. He wants to reveal his glory. This church is meant to reveal the glory of God. That's not my plan, that's God's plan. And so I want to read out of 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to take something out of this that I believe God is saying to us as a church. In this, okay, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha. You know what Elisha means? It means God is salvation. Isn't that good? That's his name. Cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went out from him and shut the door. Behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons shall live on the rest." I want to talk about empty vessels. It's an amazing story. Here's a woman that's got nothing to pay her means, and the creditor is coming. Every time I say that, I'm just aware that God, that the creditor is coming. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom here, but the day of reckoning is upon us. We're living at the ends of the age, where the Bible says that we're surrounded by this incredible cloud of witnesses, all those who have gone before us, who laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel, and are now watching us, upon whom the ends of the earth are resting. And God has promised something. You know what he said? As surely as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When God makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it. The Bible says also that the whole world is groaning. It's in Romans 8, sorry. The whole world is groaning and it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to reveal the glory of God. So I want to look at this story. And I'm just aware how much it can relate to us. Do you know, just a little while ago, that Karen had been leading us through Revelation, looking at all the churches, and she got to the last church, and it was the Laodicean church. And they were a church. One of the things they said about themselves, that we've got all that we need. We're rich. We've got so much knowledge. We've got so much of this. We're rich. We've got everything we need. And the one thing they didn't know was that they were poor. They were wretched. They were poor. They were naked. They were blind. They didn't know that they were poor. You know, one of the things that the Bible says, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what I'm waiting for? Such a cry and an anguish to come from the church that God's going to hear of a sound coming from the earth. You know, I've read the scripture, and I've read about Sodom and Gomorrah. I've read about this cry that came up from Sodom and Gomorrah that God had to eventually respond to, because it was the cry of sin, it was the cry of degradation, it was the cry of people in bondage, it was a cry of that God had, I'm going to have to answer that, I'm going to have to deal with that. And when that came, I thought, if God can hear that kind of thing, how much more does he want to hear our prayer? We had that word about ask, ask. He says, ask of me, the nation. My house shall be a house of asking. I changed that deliberately. You know, when you come, have you got a request? Have you even got a request? We've got more requests coming. But I think, man, we are so empty. We have nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the king. There are those who know they are empty, know that we have nothing. Our whole job is to pray, our Father in heaven, how wonderful you are, how glorious you are. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, one of the things that Jeremiah said is that we're to have prophetic revelation. He talked about those young people that are praying over people, start to speak the will and the mind and the heart of God over people as they were praying for them. And it awakens something in hearts of young men and women. And that just jumped within me, because that's part of the call on this church, to be a prophetic church, to see what God is wanting to do. You know, it's only after that judgment that God examining the churches in Revelation 1, 2 and 3. And, you know, some of it wasn't nice. You know, he said some hard things because he had to deal with issues in their lives and our lives as well. But it was only after that, in Revelation 4, that you get this call of the Spirit, come up here. And I'm going to show you things that are going to take place. I'm going to show you what Jesus Christ is doing. I'm going to show you the hearts of men and women. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do by my Spirit. That's what I want to see. That's the cry I want to hear from the church. Show us, God. Anoint our eyes with eye salve so that we can see what you are doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. Well, we're to follow him. He's the one we're following. We're to have the same heart. And I was praying this morning. I just couldn't stop crying. I just realized how empty we are without him. And that song, Adam, that you chose, the one about the cross, how do the words go? Thank you for the cross. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. So there was a breaking going on in me. Need to be broken again because God wants something to come forth. I know there's a breaking going on. And here's the words about rejoice. So there's a joy that might seem a bit of a contradiction. Well, one of the songs was that. I'm looking at the songs and even in tears we can have a joy. I'm thinking, oh, that's good. I thought, what's wrong with me? There's this word coming forth to rejoice, but there's these tears. There's a sense of that we really need to know our condition, just like that Laodicean church. You don't even know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire. What does the Bible say is our gold? Brethren, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that you're going through. But know that it's your faith that's much more precious than gold. It will be refined because this world wants to see the glory of God. So let me get back to this story. This widow, the creditor is coming. And I think about that in the church. We've been given so much. We've been given so much. We have been blessed with every... How many know that? Put up your hand. Come on, if you know it, don't put your hand up if you don't know it. How many of you know that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I know. I'll be held accountable to what I know and to what I have. Didn't Jesus teach that? He taught about all the gifts, talked about the talents. Didn't he tell those stories about the talents? You know, the money that was given. You know, one had 10 pounds, another had 5, another had 1 or 2 or whatever it was, and the different responses from them. But every one of us is a steward of what we have received from God. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Seems a contradiction, doesn't it? So this woman, that's the church. And I just believe that this woman represents the church of our generation. We think we know so much, but where is the evidence of it? Where is the evidence of it? It says in the last days that we'll have a form of godliness. We know all about it. We know how to go for all the rules and all the rituals and do exactly, quote all the scriptures, do all of that, but there's no power. You know, I'm saying this, there's got to be something woken up in us. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And what has he called us to do, first of all, as a church? To pray. Creditors coming to take my 2 sons to be slaves. So Elijah said to her, first of all, let me look at quickly a couple of scriptures. Let me read this. He says, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Well, we're the house. We're the house of God, right? What have you got in the house? Well, I've got a bed, I've got a TV, I've got 2 cars, I've got this, I've got that. Got all these things in my house. No, I'm talking about this house. What have you got in the house? You know, a lot of us like this widow. What does she answer? She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." A jar of oil. What it was is a pot of oil. The literal word for it means it was an anointing bottle or flask. It was a flask that they used to anoint themselves with oil. It was just a little flask that they would anoint themselves with oil, and that's all she had in you know, the Bible says in John 2, I think it's 20 and 27, that we have received an anointing. And we know that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We've received that anointing. It's upon us. The Bible says the actual word is in the Old Testament, it's orsuk. Orsuk. You suk. And it means an oil flask. It comes from a word suk, which just means to anoint, to smear with oil. And in 1 John 2 and 20, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. It's the word, it's chrisma. It's a smearing. It's that anointing. We've got that anointing. Each one of us have it. And then we heard from Jeremiah when he quoted 2 Corinthians 4:17, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's that word vessel. What was she told? To take that little pot, that flask of anointing oil, but she was told by Elisha, go and get as many empty vessels as you can. And I want to relate that word vessel to you and to me and to people who don't know the Lord, but are realizing they've got nothing. They are nothing. No hope, no future. It's same as every one of us. He died for us when we were his enemies. No hope, no future whatsoever. We're the vessel, but that anointing is in us and upon us, and it remains with us, the Bible says. I like this that Tozer says, what the poor had nothing. Holy Spirit does through me is dependent upon what the Holy Spirit can do in me. You realize that? That anointing's there, but it's dependent on what the Holy Spirit can do in me. So everything he's going to do through us is going to be dependent on what he first of all can do in us, what we allow him to do in us. And I believe that there's a breaking needed to happen in a lot of our lives. God does not choose us for who we are or how qualified we are, but rather for who he is and what he is permitted to do through our lives. Very similar thing. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what does the scripture say? So that the excellency of the power is going to be obvious to all that it's not from us. You know, we'd love to have church services where we could broadcast all the miracles and everything. I don't think God's going to allow that. Remember a few weeks back we had that prophetic word about this mantle that God has been the only one that would be allowed to wear. And it was the mantle of his glory. And the warning was that many in history have tried to wear that mantle, men, churches, and that glory has gone. We're wanting to see the glory of God manifested. Didn't Moses get told by God when he said, I want to see your glory, no one can see me, they're going to die. That's got to happen, but we can. We're the vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be seen to be not of us, but of him. 2 Timothy, I want to go there just quickly. 2 Timothy. Timothy and chapter 2. Remember, it was asked what was in the house? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honour and some for dishonour. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what's the latter? Dishonour. What can cleanse us? The blood of Jesus. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honour, sanctified, that means set apart, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Praise God. Just get back to 2 Kings. So, we're the vessels. And we're to empty ourselves. You know, it says in Philippians that Jesus, even though he was God and considered it not robbery to be equal with God, the King James says he, how does it put it? I'll have to read it. Can't remember it. But one of the translations says he emptied himself of all that he was and took on him the form of a servant. He humbled himself even to the point of death. So anyway, you can see this emptying of himself. So God's looking for empty vessels. Because when she got into her house after her sons had gathered all these, as many empty vessels as they could. How many of them needs in your life? Isn't that amazing? The Laodicean in church, what did it say? I have need of nothing. Doesn't that do something? Doesn't that say something? I have need of nothing. When you have need of nothing, you don't ask. Got nothing to ask for. Got all I need. Got all I want. What do we need God for? Make us look good? I really pray the Holy Spirit would break us, show us our needs. Show us our needs, the need we have of Him every day. When you wake up in the morning, the need you have of Him. We're called to be His witness. He's called us to do stuff we can't do without His power, without His presence. He's called us to do impossible things. It's impossible to show His glory. So when they gathered all these empty vessels, He said, do not gather just a few. Can you hear the Holy Spirit talking about the urgency of this hour, the urgency of coming before Him, emptying ourselves of all that we, with our complacency, come before Him, recognize the need we have of Him, but not only ourselves, but others as well. As many empty vessels as we come, as we can, not just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all these vessels and set aside the full ones. And that's what she began to do. We have an anointing that God wants us to begin to pour out. In Mark 14 and verse 3, it was the woman who broke the alabaster container and then poured out the costly ointment all over Jesus. Psalm 22 and verse 14, I am poured out like water. Isaiah 53 and verse 12, Jesus poured out His soul to death. John 13 and verse 5, Jesus poured water and washed the disciples' feet. Luke 10, verse 34, the Good Samaritan poured oil. And healed his wounds. God wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Will you and I be ones that he can pour through? It'll cost you all that you have. It'll cost you all that you are. What the Spirit, Holy Spirit does through me is dependent on what the Holy Spirit can do in me. We are chosen vessels. Paul said, I was a chosen vessel. God said, you're a chosen vessel, and I'll show you how many things you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. If we want to see the glory of God, suffering is always going to be there, always. But it's not going to be something we're going to be worried about. It's going to be the love of God motivating us to do it. I want to tell you just a little, like a parable. It's a story. It's called The Bamboo Story. It was an Eastern gardener, had a beautiful garden. In his garden, he had this beautiful bamboo plant. And it just grew incredibly tall. It was one of those really giant bamboos. And it grew incredibly tall, with all these branches going out and leaves everywhere. And anyway, the bamboo's got a personality and he's very proud to be growing so well and pleasing the master every time he comes walking through the garden, enjoying his shade and shading the other animals that are in the garden as well. And one day the master comes along and says, Bamboo, I want to use you. And Bamboo says, yes, I want to be used by you. And he said, but before I can use you, I've got to cut you down. What? If you cut me down, I'll die. In the end, he says, okay, master, I trust you. So he cuts the bamboo down. He's cut off, fallen on the ground, all his glory on the ground. And then the master says, Bamboo, before I can use you, I've got to strip all your branches off. He says, what? There won't be anything left of me if you do that. And in the end, he succumbs and says, yes, master, do it. So the master strips all his branches off. It's just a bare trunk. And then the master says, Bamboo, before I can use you, I've got to cut you in half. Bamboo says, what? I'm strong like this, but if you cut me in half, I won't have that strength anymore. So he cuts the bamboo right down the length. Still got all those, you know, baffles, you know, how bamboo's got those little notches every, I don't know, foot or whatever it is. The master says, still can't use you. I've got to knock out all of those notches. Master, if you knock them out, there won't be any strength left me at all. He says, let me do it. Okay, master, do it. So he knocks out all the middle of him. Totally out. And then the master takes this broken bamboo plant, cut in half, the middle, the guts taken right out of the middle of it, and he uses him as a channel from a spring that's up the mountain. Because of his length, he uses him as a channel where the water is then funneled down into his garden. And so in the times when there's drought, this garden is still well watered. And that's how God wants to use each one of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be seen to be not of us, but of him. God wants to use every one of you. And I encourage you, present your body as a living sacrifice, as an empty vessel. Let that blessing come upon you that says in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can you stand up and we're just going to close in prayer? Hallelujah. 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 Lord, thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you that, again, we can look upon the cross where you died. We're humbled by your mercy and we're broken inside. Once again, Lord, once again, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Have your way. Lord, I pray that you put in each one of us, each one of our hearts, Lord, a desire to see you glorified. Thank you that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I pray it be that love that compels us.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.